Hello, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of the Answer the Call broadcast. Thank you so much for inviting us into your home this evening. If you have your Bible handy, we're going to be turning to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to key in on Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 27. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 27. And if you found that portion of the Word of God, please note with me the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, "And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." This evening, we want to speak on the subject entitled Unshakable Things. On October of 1989, an earthquake struck the San Francisco Bay Area. It resulted in devastation, destruction, and death. Now, while it lasted for only 15 seconds and caused approximately $7.5 billion worth of damage, the reports stated nothing of the loss of lives and injuries affecting those that lived in the Bay Area. Now, while it's true that earthquakes, tornadoes, and hurricanes come with the capacity to shake up communities, bankrupt businesses, and ruin lives, there are also other institutions that are being shaken up as well. Institutions such as families, marriages, churches, government leaders, as well as politicians. Our text this evening brings to mind some of those things that can be shaken. The context, of course, here indicates how that the Lord Jesus Christ in the near future will put an end to those things to which are traditionally appropriated for a period of time, yet due to his death and resurrection, they will be done away with. Only those things that are kept in his kingdom will remain. Now, along the lines of the future kingdom of our Savior, there are several unshakable things found in the Bible, which could be or should be used as anchors when our spiritual light begins to flicker, when our faith is under pressure, and when we are called on to give an answer for the hope that is within us. The first unshakable thing we want to bring to your attention is that of the throne of God. God's throne is an unshakable thing. In the book of Hebrews, if you're still with me, I'll have you turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 1. And in that portion of the Word of God, you'll key in on verse number 8. Look at it with me, if you will. The Bible says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." History has recorded the fall of many thrones. Here are a few just to mention. The Babylonian Empire fell in 539 BC when Cyrus the Great, king of Persia, conquered the Babylonians. This event marked the end of the Neo-Babylonian Empire. The Persian Empire, it in and of itself failed 330 BC when Darius III, the last Persian Empire, was assassinated by his generals. However, the empire was conquered by Alexander the Great in a series of military campaigns between 334 and 330 BC. Rome's imperial period was its last, beginning with the rise of Rome's first emperor in 31 BC and lasting until the fall of Rome in 476 AD. Those that remain at this moment are becoming more and more fragile and insecure, and yet, as they embrace the sands of time, they too will be soon reduced to nothing more than rubble. But there is a throne. There is a kingdom that is unshakable as ever, and that is the throne of our God. Now, no matter what may take place in this world or in the starry universe above, the throne of God in the center of the universe stands forever and cannot be shaken. Benjamin Franklin once said, "God governs in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, neither can a kingdom rise without his aid." This throne not only represents, that is, God's throne not only represents the authority and power and greatness of our God, but it is a place of prayer where we can come boldly in the name of Jesus Christ to offer our praise and bear out our souls. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Yes, friend, God's throne is an unshakable throne. But not only is the throne of God unshakable, secondly, the Word of God is also an unshakable thing. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 119, verse 89. He said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now, if you have your Bible handy, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40, I'll have you key in to this portion of scripture, verse number 8. Notice this phenomenal statement that the prophet says to you and to me. The Bible says, "The grass thereof, or the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Now, the apostle Peter repeats this same statement, taken directly, no doubt, from the scroll of Isaiah. There, he said in his book that bears his name, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away." And then he says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." And in verse 25, he says, "And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Listen, friend, in light of DEI, in light of boys and girls sports, in light of the compromised churches that we have today, people are now referring to the Word of God for answers more than they ever have before. Listen, if a person says to me, "I do not believe the Bible," I am led to three possible conclusions about that person. Number one, I believe that they have never read the Word of God. You see, once you read the Bible, it has a lasting, impactful effect on its readers. Number two, I believe that they are willfully ignorant to its accuracy. People complain about the Bible because they don't understand how accurate it is, or how that the Word of God has played a major role in our history. Thirdly, I believe that they have read the Bible, but they, if they have read it, they in and of their own self have chosen not to accept it as the Word of God. You see, friend, we must understand that the Bible is paramount in every person's life. As Peter brings it to our attention, the word of the Lord endureth forever. The more scientifically correct the Bible is, the better condition our nation would be in. Science has never, ever been able to disprove the divine order of God's creation as it is recorded in the first chapter in the book of Genesis. One day, a little girl went home from school and asked her father, she said, "Dad, is it true that the moon is made out of green cheese?" Her father, somewhat perplexed about her question, told her or suggested to her to look in the Bible and read Genesis chapter 1. 10 minutes later, the daughter came back with a smile on her face, and the father said, "So, what did you find out?" The daughter said these words. She said, "I simply applied the scientific method. I read in the first chapter of Genesis that the moon was made on the fourth day and cows on the sixth day. And since you cannot make cheese without cows, I knew that the moon was not made out of green cheese." Listen, friend, the scientific order is perfect. It's just that some people are corrupt. The Bible tells us these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away." Jesus, of course, stood in the temples of Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago and preached the word of God. And today the temples are gone. Today those critics are gone, but the word of God abideth even still today. Because God's word is indestructible, God's word is eternal, God's word is also, friend, unshakable. And yes, my friend, it's true. We serve an amazing God. Well, as I look at the time, let me ask you, friend, what say you about the word of God? Do you believe that it is unshakable? Do you believe that it is paramount in the lives of men, women, and children? Do you believe that it's the word of God that points us towards heaven? If not, why not? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you been gloriously born again, made new? Friend, I invite you to trust Jesus as your Savior. I invite you to invite him in your heart. Will you respond to the gospel message? Will you, my friend, be willing to answer the call?